10 a.m. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The first presidential debate of the 2024 election will be held in less than a week. Former President Trump holding policy meetings with advisors, including J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio, and President Biden preparing at Camp David with his advisors. ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott has more.
This is going to look and feel a whole lot different. There will be no live studio audience, no staff interactions once they get on that debate stage. You remember those past debates that turned into shouting matches between President Biden and former President Donald Trump? Well, this time around, the candidates' microphones will only be turned on when it is their turn to speak.
The hot weather is still the big story from the plains through the Northeast. The heat causing major travel disruptions in the Northeast Corridor on Thursday. More records could be broken today. Wildfire is still raging out of control in New Mexico. Two people have died so far. And cleanup along the Texas Gulf Coast continues from Tropical Storm Alberto. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than 3 million people in Wisconsin have jobs. That's the most ever. The unemployment rate is just 2.9%. The Department of Workforce Development says conditions are good for workers who are looking for better pay and benefits. Social justice groups want social workers and not the police to respond to some emergency calls. Megan Rogers is with the Nonviolent Peace Force.
There are many, many times when a person is going through a severe mental health crisis that police are called and that person becomes criminalized and it's not given the full wraparound services and the appropriate response to what truly is a mental health issue.
The Madison Police Department, for one, has 6 full-time mental health officers and 2 in-house crisis workers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced it will provide $100,000 in grants to rural counties for hosting electronics recycling events. According to a press release, the DNR will give priority on the grant funding to counties that do not have a permanent collection site for the electronic items. Applications for the grant funding must be submitted by July 31st, and the events must be hosted between this September and December of 2025. The application is available online. The Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation is looking for donations for their disaster relief fund. According to a Northern News Now report, the Northland nonprofit is raising funds to help residents in need after this week's severe storms and flash flooding. Funding from the donations will go towards things like infrastructure repair, community cleanups, temporary housing assistance, and mental health services. Donations can be made on the foundation's website, or a paper check can be mailed to their office. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks getting ready for the draft.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NBA draft is coming up next week. Bucks GM John Horst has the 23rd and 33rd picks overall, which he may flip in a trade deal. The Los Angeles Lakers have hired ESPN's J.J. Redick as their new head coach. The 39-year-old Redick played 15 years in the NBA with 6 different teams, including the Milwaukee Bucks, but never the Lakers. The only time Redick has ever coached was for his son's youth basketball team. Baseball. The Brewers losing to the Padres last night, 7-6. Starting pitcher Bryce Wilson got off to a bad start, giving up 4 runs in the first. Pat Murphy.
I wasn't super pleased with how he threw the ball, but 5 runs and 15 outs is not what we're looking for here.
The Brewers debuting another rookie reliever, 23-year-old Bradley Blaylock, in the 8th.
I guess walking out of the bullpen, kind of just glanced up and looked at everyone, took it all in for a second, but then once I started that jog in, I was locked in and ready to go get 3 outs.
As Brewers pitcher Bradley Blaylock was Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers are likely today. Heavy rain also possible. A high near 66. For tonight, showers and storms, a low around 57. Showers, maybe a thunderstorm on Saturday. Highs around 69. Up to a half inch to 3/4 inch of rain today and again tonight.
It's 60 at our studios.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver.
and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno Fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno Fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Natalie Yar from the Capital Times joins me to discuss film incentives in Wisconsin. And as always, Max Inc. host Terry Barr shares some great new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
All right, welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2700.
People thought they were on the wrong channel.
89.
They didn't hear the normal opening music. Girl.
You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Earl. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, so Earl, I just happenstancely found out that today is your birthday. And it's not just a birthday. It's a decade marking birthday. So, you know, today we're going to celebrate Earl Ingram.
Right. Well,
a great friend of mine who's going to try and sneak his birthday under the radar. I hope more of you today are streaming, watching this show as you can do, because I brought Earl my family birthday hat that he's wearing, and it's silly. Earl looks like every birthday guy ought to look. He's the silly celebrant.
Sandy, I've been saying for a while,
you joined my decade.
If I sneeze too hard,
yeah,
I'm going to be 70. Well, guess what? Yesterday I sneezed too hard.
Gesundheit.
And yeah, I mean, I woke up this morning and I'm 70.
Yeah. Actually, you know what today means? Today means you've actually finished 70 years.
Yeah.
And you're starting 71.
So Sandy certainly puts it in great perspective, right?
Yeah.
Calvin.
Yeah, he does.
You know, Sandy, I'm not one who celebrates birthdays.
I know it's attention. People don't like, you know, humble people don't like attention being paid to them. I've always liked to ignore it, but you know what? I'm not going to ignore your birthday.
I want to say, you text me last night.
Yeah.
And you asked me my birthday, and I'm like, why is he asking me my birthday? Does he know, you know?
I didn't. I choose the music now. Earl's given me this task. So I was going to do birth year music for the people, for Calvin, for you, for me. And I was going to try and figure out themes. And so I asked what day and date. So I could find out what music was top on your birthday as well. So you write back and you said June 21st. 1954. And my math is good enough. So I was like, wait a minute. Tomorrow is June 21st and it's 2024. I can do this math.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to come in here and tell people, hey, it's my birthday.
No, of course not.
So, you know, I am, I'm thankful to have been able to have made it this far. There are a lot of people who don't get a chance, so I'm very thankful of that. I do know that it's another chapter in my life,
it's a great decade. 70s are, I can tell you, you stay healthy and it's a fantastic time. Well, so one of the things I was doing, you say, hey, Earl, was at the time I was looking at for information about Willie Mays, because obviously the passing of Willie Mays was a big thing. In 1954, there was music regarding Willie Mays that was actually big on the charts for a brief period of time during June of 1954. So not only was this music about Willie Mays, say hey, but it was also about the incoming Earl Ingram. Hey, can you tee that music up, Calvin? This is kind of interesting because actually Willie Mays sings in this as well.
Say who? Say Willie. Say hey. Say who? Swinging at the plate. Say hey. Say who? Say Willie. That giant kid is great. When he hits the ball, it's long gone, man. Hits it farther than camp began. Swings the bat like a little lead pipe. When they reach the ball,
Willie Mays. It's over. Willie was, I think he entered in 50.
Willie is singing in that?
Well, he makes, we probably won't hear it, but right. his voice comes into that, the back and forth that goes on in that song. And, you know, Willie was like 3 years in the major leagues, and he was already the rage. I saw music about him, national hits relating to Willie Mays. You were being born.
Well, he was a flashy player. And as I told you, Willie Mays was my favorite baseball player as a child, as a young man. And just watching his athleticism, Sandy, and his hand-eye coordination, and never will forget one of the greatest catches in the history.
Yeah,
of
running
the game
back, over his shoulder.
Yeah,
catch, yeah,
yeah, with his back to home plate, catching this ball in the polo grounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Dead center field. He's on the warning track. And just to, you know, even to this day, if you see that, it's a pretty spectacular catch. You know, and if you look at some of the players today, their athleticism, I think, far exceeds what the decades past. But that catch Willie Mays made has gone down in history as one of the greatest catches in the history of the game.
Yeah, and, you know, we were so used to having black baseball players, but he was really early in the process. I mean, Jackie Robinson hadn't been in the league very long when Henry Aaron and Willie Mays and these guys broke in. So it was a big deal.
And go ahead.
Well, I know, and I'm just saying, but 1954 was a big year. It was a big year for Willie Mays, but it was a bigger year for the Ingrams.
Right. Well,
and I'm so glad, you know.
I don't know if it was such a big year for the Ingrams. I was number 7 of 13.
So you were, it was sort of a ho-hum.
Yeah. I'm that guy who, when it was time for dinner and they rang the cowbell, and they said, hey, dinner for everybody. And if, you know, I didn't get there on time and somebody would say, hey, number seven is missing. hey,
how long,
number seven?
How long did it take them to name you?
I was
14 years old before they decided they had to go beyond number 7.
I was actually named after my father, so I'm a junior.
Uh-huh.
And so which all, is kind of strange.
So were all the George Foremans.
Oh yeah, but they were all named George
they
Foreman.
Were all named
I know. But after there were three boys before me. So kind of strange. Maybe they were running out of names.
No, they knew you were special right from day one.
Oh, man. Sandy, I'm honored. My life has been full, and my life has been full of service. And so, you know, I'll never become a millionaire financially, but I will become – am becoming a person who is recognized by my community as somebody who is right there with his sleeves rolled up trying to make my community better.
Well, for sure, Earl. That's you've lived a remarkable life, really. You know, these politicians all want to say they started out, you know, in the hardworking blue collar family, and this is where. But you did, you know, and you've committed yourself in so many ways, you know, and to children, the football program you sponsored for so long and ran. And now Voice of the Elders, and a whole variety of other things. I mean, you've been at it. You have put your money. No, it's even more than putting your money where your mouth is. You've put your blood and sweat where your mouth is, and that's fantastic.
You know, Sandy. You know, I was fortunate enough to see a guy like Dr. Martin Luther King as a young man. He impacted my life immeasurably. And in watching him, and I think having the gift of a caring heart, watching him, I didn't realize a caring heart was a gift, right? And until I ran into some other folk who, you know, don't really give a rip about anybody. But I found out, you know, later on, there's some value in that.
Well, you know what? I think the people who get the most benefit out of doing things for others are the people who are doing things for others. It's a great feeling. There's a great deal of personal warmth that's achieved. You get, you know, you achieve grace in a way that is fundamentally much better than any kind of reward. Financial that you could get.
Well, you know, Sandy, I was
incidentally, though, it's a little hard to take you seriously with that hat on. I wish everyone on the radio could see. Yeah, it's great. Go ahead.
So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about my short, you know, trip to
Baraboo
and what I learned in, you know, just one day in Baraboo about the beauty of, you know, the part. And that's only 2 hours away from Milwaukee. You're talking to a guy who spent his whole life in an urban center.
Right.
And did not venture. As far as, you know, my knowledge of the wild is if I go down to Lake Park. in Milwaukee, you know.
Well, I mean, I think that's true of so many people in Wisconsin who probably don't really travel around Wisconsin that much. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who have this pattern of going up north. Okay. So
right.
Those people probably get around some, but I think there's an awful lot of people who live in the western or northern parts of Wisconsin who never get to Milwaukee and see what it is and what it's like and what it has to offer. And there's many, many people in Milwaukee who never really get out of the urban environment and see the beauty of what's all around the state. It's spectacular.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Maybe this should be called The Old Man in the Shoe.
Cool. There you go.
You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We all know that generic drugs are cheaper than name brand drugs. But I'm going to make a confession. For a long time, I thought generics were a less good version of a name brand, you know, like dollar store versions of cornflakes. But it turns out that generic drugs are made with the exact same chemical formula as the name brands. They have to be to even be on the market. When drug companies invent a new drug, they get a 20-year patent in America that gives them exclusive rights to sell their Zoloft or Ambien or whatever. But after 20 years, other companies can sell generic versions. drugs that don't use the famous name but are chemically the same and follow all the same FDA rules. To get these savings, just ask your doctor to prescribe you a generic. Most of the time, they will. Now, your pharmacist usually can't just swap in the generic when you're picking up your pills, so you do have to ask your doctor before you leave the doctor's office. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, look, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through without throwing up.
we better put some Saran on the mic, you know?
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-9.
Now, you're supposed to ask me, Sandy, what's the music about?
89, and we'll do that. I first want to read a couple of texts. A happy birthday to my friend and Milwaukee living legend. Look, living legend implies.
Well, you better be a living legend. It's much better.
But implies that I've been around a long time.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't feel like I've been around a long time, but.
Well, get used to it.
Yeah, sadly, we don't get around the state because it's not always as welcoming and can be dangerous on many levels. Luann says, cute hat.
Oh, there. See,
so, Sandy, you got an acknowledgement of this hat that I have on my head. It's actually alive.
Yeah, it'll move. You could turn it on, and it does a dance.
Go ahead.
Well, that message, you know, I think it's interesting because – I think that there are plenty of people who live out in rural Wisconsin who think that it's not safe to come into the city of Milwaukee. And this is an expression of someone who lives in the city of Milwaukee who thinks it might not be safe to go to rural Wisconsin. And I think both those fears are just sadly misplaced. You know, I think I don't think there's anything like a danger to be experienced by coming and traveling around the city of Milwaukee, seeing what there is and experiencing Milwaukee. And similarly, there's really no danger for the people who live in the city of Milwaukee, I think, going around like you did to Baraboo and other places all around the state.
All right, let's go to Al. I think Al's going to be complaining about the music. hey, Al, what's going on, man?
Is that what you call that? Music? Anyway, did I hear something about somebody's birthday?
No, Al, that was you. That was a mistake. No, it's absolutely it's Earl's birthday.
Oh, I was just because I thought, you know, when you hit a certain plateau, you don't have those anymore.
Well. Those of us who've passed that plateau, don't let people ignore it, right? I mean, it's like a welcome aboard.
Al still says he's 29.
Hello. Yeah. Forever.
Hey, Al, why'd you pick 29?
Because Janis Joplin sang that song at Woodstock, saying when you hit 30, you over the hill. I said, I'll never reach the top of that hill.
Yeah.
You know, Al, so I don't want to sit here and be talking about my birthday, man, you know.
You don't have to. Other people will.
and so, you know, I'm going to go home and do what I do every day. And that's serve. And then, you know, I'm blessed to have woken up this morning. Like every morning, and then when I close my eyes, I'll be thankful if I can, wake up the next morning.
Come on, this is such a buzzkill. This is your birthday, man. This isn't about whether I'm going to wake up in the morning.
Well, that's what, you know, now you sound like my wife.
Oh, God. I'm sure I should.
No, but she kind of says, that, you know, hey, come on, get with it. Yeah. But it's been so long. Al, do you celebrate your birthdays? No, you just said you don't.
Oh, of course he does.
Excuse me. Yes, I do. Every 29, I have one every year.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, I wanted to talk about this moving around the state.
Yeah, go ahead.
I served on the state track coaches board for several years. And prior to that, I used to take kids from the inner city to the Dells and other places years and years ago because I wanted them to see what the rest of the world looks like and how other people live. But the point is, our issue is not about moving around. It's about fear. We're afraid of the unknown. And people who live in cities basically are afraid of people who are in the rural areas because they don't know how these people live. And they assume everybody's running around with a gun. And if you step on my land, I'm going to shoot you and all of that garbage. But people live like that in the city also in a very smaller environment. But I've never had an issue throughout the state of Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota and Illinois. I go wherever I feel like going, and people either welcome you or they ignore you. And I have no fear of anything. So I just point that out because of the fact that traveling is economy, and you need to learn a lot about the rural areas because that's where your food comes from. And you need, you know, the only thing I have a problem with is planting time when you just smell of what they put out in those fields. But other than that, everything is cool.
Hey, Al, those are great words of wisdom, man. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, he hit on the points that you and I were talking about off the air.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fear is the biggest problem we're contending with now. It's the biggest problem politically. It's the biggest problem socially. And much of it is this social fear, which ends up kind of reducing sometimes, I'm afraid, to tribal and racial fear, which I think travel could do a lot to get over.
You know? People are selling fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and I always say, I just don't, you know, I haven't not gone to rural parts of the state because of fear. I think it's just that, you know, spending my entire life inside of urban reality, you know, and trying to fix what's wrong inside of my community, I never thought much about, it's not like I haven't been to different parts of the state.
Yeah, and there's also this law of physics called inertia. You know, what's at rest tends to stay at rest.
Right.
What's in motion tends to stay in motion. And I think there's a lot of inertia that goes into how we live. You know, we get used to something. We have a comfort zone. We do it every day. You know, you do have to sort of stir yourself up to decide you're going to go off and do something, drive to Baraboo, see Baraboo, whatever. And I think that once you do it, there's an excitement about it. There's an excitement and an enrichment about being someplace, seeing it, seeing what's different. And actually, you saw beauty that the people who live in Baraboo take for granted.
You know? Sandy,
it's nothing to them. It was beautiful to
you. Yeah. Well, there are people listening to us all across this state, and they call from across the state. And you know, I'm interested in their thoughts. We're interested in their thoughts mm-hmm. about what we're talking about now. Because, you know, who was it that said there's nothing to fear but fear itself? What president said
FDR.
That? Okay.
And that was, he was talking about the depression and, you know.
Right. But I mean, the same, just fear in general, you know, being afraid of the unknown and those kinds of things. You just have to, as I stated, and when I was talking to the mayor of Baraboo, I told him I'd never been here, but I'm coming back with my family because, man, I missed all that.
Well, and right. There's the Circus World Museum there. That
oh, yeah.
Actually would be interesting.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. Can we hurry up and get past this?
No, God, no.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A 17-year-old boy is dead after being shot at a Milwaukee Juneteenth celebration last night. A 15-year-old boy was wounded. It happened as an event at a park was wrapping up early because of fights. A 17-year-old is accused of firing several shots into the crowd. He's under arrest. Scientists say changes can happen in the brain at least 20 years before a person is diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Abby Meisner with the Alzheimer's Association says the risk is rising at a younger age, and the numbers are discouraging.
The lifetime risk for Alzheimer's at age 45 is 1 in 5 for women and 1 in 10 for men.
120,000 people in Wisconsin age 65 and older were living with Alzheimer's 4 years ago. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has announced Wisconsin's employment numbers have hit a record high. According to data released by the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics, preliminary estimates for May 2024 show Wisconsin hit a record high employment of 3,048,000. The state's unemployment rate also stayed at about 2.9%, over a full percentage point lower than the national average. The labor force participation rate was also higher than the national average. Duluth City officials are crediting previous investments in infrastructure for minimizing the damage caused by flash flooding during this week's storms. According to a Northern News Now report, infrastructure improvements began about 12 years ago after Duluth was torn apart by catastrophic flash flooding. Those floods ended up causing about $100 million in damage, but after improvements to things like green infrastructure, this week's flooding only caused some minor damage to a few trails and parks. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are teaming up again for a new crime thriller called R.I.P. The duo's company, Artists Equity, will produce the film. The project is in the early stages, and plot details are being kept on the down low. Artist Equity's first film was Air, which debuted in 2022. Both Affleck and Damon were part of the cast, with Damon as the main character. If you don't include the true star, a shoe. Justin Timberlake was released from police custody in the Hamptons following a drunk driving charge. The incident happened after Timberlake left a party at a friend's house and was pulled over by police. Timberlake was reportedly booked early Tuesday and kept overnight before being released without bail. Police said Timberlake failed to stop, was swerving and slurring his words, basically failing every aspect of the sobriety test. Timberlake says he only had one martini at a time. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers are likely today. Heavy rain also possible. A high near 66. For tonight, showers and storms, a low around 57. Showers, maybe a thunderstorm on Saturday. Highs around 69. Up to a half inch to 3/4 inch of rain today and again tonight.
It's 60 at our studios.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our old friend Peter Rapine of EPOM's World stops by with a lighter look at the week in review. Do not miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I just want to celebrate.
Great lyrics.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
And the music. We're celebrating today a special day. It's Earl's birthday today. And it's a special birthday. It's a decade-marking birthday. And it's we just want to celebrate. We just want to celebrate. It's like the music.
Yeah, well, you know. Let's do this. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. First off, happy birthday, my friend.
Well, thank you, man.
You're awesome, dude. I think I remember you when you were 60, so there you go. Now
you're 70. You probably close to. Go ahead.
No. I'm nowhere close to it. I'm 50.
No. I'm talking about knowing me from probably about 60, 63. Right. Exactly. Go ahead.
Exactly. All right. So I wanted to bring up two things. Please, people of Wisconsin, they're trying to make voting very difficult. My sister yesterday, who I've now turned on civic media, which is great. She lives in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, and she filled out her absentee ballot, registered because she moved to a new location. And just because she put the number 3 for her apartment number, it wouldn't go through until she eliminated the pound sign. So I guess if you put a comma or a period or anything like that, it won't go through. So just so people know that. Also, when it comes to absentee ballots, 20 days, you have to get them in within 20 days of the election. And we have a really important election coming up, or Wisconsin does, in August. And I don't know if you've read these two state referendums, Earl, but you need a law degree in order to even understand them. As far as I know, they're both, you vote no on them. Otherwise, you're giving all the power to the legislature in Wisconsin. But they have written this thing. I'm just going to read it to you real quick, if you don't mind. State of Wisconsin Delegation Appropriation Power Referendum, Question 1. Question 1, Delegation of Appropriation Power. Shall Section 35(1) of Article 4 of the Constitution be created to provide that the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how money shall be appropriated. Now you tell me, how is the average person out there, and they write these things this way on purpose.
Well, it's written by Wisconsin's Law and Liberty. So, you know, but go ahead, by attorneys.
I'm telling people, I believe the answer is no on both of these is what you'd want to do. So you limit the.
Well, I'll bring somebody in, Tom, to talk about it. Who's, you know, aware of it. So go ahead.
Your registrations, check them more than once, because they're going to do whatever they can to make, since Wisconsin is a swing state, they're going to do whatever they can to try to suppress that vote and make that vote not happen. So everyone remember, we the people are the government, and we have got to be active in terms of understanding that there are people out there spending billions of dollars on commercials and all these different things to get you not to vote.
Hey, Tom, thank you. Thank you very much for that information. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I want to, and I know you want to keep it lighthearted, but I got a couple of subjects, man, that we have to address. Because, you know, I think it's really important, you know, as I was going through my ritual about what I thought was important to talk about today, I ran across this article in today's New York Times. It's called How Capitalism Went Off the Rails. And so because I'm, you know, now 70 years old, I remember romantically thinking about capitalism and as a young man, how I was taught about this nation and its capitalistic views and how all the other nations of the earth were jealous of what we were able to do with capitalism. And you could see, you know, Sandy, the outcome of capitalism as I was a young boy and a young man, because the middle class was strong and vibrant. And the thing you could attribute it to, we'd always hear, was capitalism. And capitalism was a great equalizer. And so every nation wanted to follow us in our great capitalistic way of life. Sandy, what happened to capitalism?
Well, first of all, you've got to talk about terms, right? So capitalism isn't a form of government, really. Capitalism is a way of organizing business and the way you raise money for business and the way you operate businesses. And so capitalism is a really sound way to run businesses. You wouldn't want a government. You wouldn't want what China had 40 years ago to be going on in the United States with 10-year government plans and governments deciding how many rolls of tissue paper are produced, et cetera. You know, they'd get it wrong and you'd run out or you'd have too much. But so the marketplace in capitalism is a really sound way to run businesses, but it doesn't mean that you don't have to have government parallel to it. And then the question is, what is the proper role of government? And plenty of other countries have taken capitalism in a different direction than the United States. We have a real hard form of capitalism, one in which the government doesn't play much of a role at all in terms of the way it provides benefits to the workers, okay? And in most of the countries, there's free education, there's free health care, very important benefits. There's pensions that are adequate and looked after. There's child daycare. All of those things are supplemental to and really support capitalism. They support the workers. They make it possible for the workplace not to have to worry about those kind of things. The United States didn't go down that path. And for a long time, all those benefits, to the extent we had them, were provided by our business, by our employers. And that has now changed. So the United States certainly has a form of capitalism that is working less well than it did in the past.
For everybody,
because it's not working as well for a bunch of people, particularly the middle class, who no longer have anything like the kind of support they had that they got from their union jobs. Now in today's shrinking middle class that involves two workers, not one worker, getting a family into the middle class. Now, that article is about basically the failure of capitalism to end up with governments that are held in high esteem in the governments of the G7 that are represented at that meeting. And I think that's a different story. That has more to do with the failure of government, okay, in these, because I think, they're looking at the extent to which governments are well received by the and well regarded by the people in the countries that are represented in the G7. But there are plenty of other countries around the world whose leaders aren't held in high regard either. I mean, I think government is going through a process of failing in the way it represents the interests of the people. And it's happening in many, many places. So it's not a failure of capitalism in my mind. It's much more a failure of government.
So let me read these two paragraphs, Sandy, and then let you respond. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Why the broad dissatisfaction with an economic system that is supposed to offer unsurpassed prosperity? Richard Sharma, the chairman of Rockefeller International and a Financial Times columnist, has an answer that boils down to two words: easy money. In an eye-opening new book, What Went Wrong with Capitalism, he makes a convincing case. When the price of borrowing money is zero, Sharma told me this week, the price of everything else goes bonkers. To take just one example, in 2010, as the era of ultra-low and even negative interest rates was getting started, the median sale price for a house in the United States hovered around $220,000. By the start of this year, it was more than $42,000. Nowhere has inflation, in the broad sense of the term, been more evident than in global financial markets. In 1980, they were worth a total of $12 trillion, equal to the size of the global economy at the time. And after the pandemic, Sharma noted those markets were worth $390 trillion, or around four times the world's total gross domestic product. Sandy, I was reading something the other day that said a McDonald's Big Mac was in 1994, $2 and some odd cent. They said today is $10. Now they point the finger at Joe Biden and Democrats for having caused this. Sandy, what's happened with capitalism can't be attributed to 4 years under any president, can it?
No, and the problem, I think the fellow that wrote that article has a very good point. One of the aspects of capitalism that is clear is that people who own assets have a great advantage in terms of accumulating wealth. And the accumulation of wealth becomes much, much easier when interest rates are essentially zero, when you can borrow money
and buy everything
and buy things that are going to make money for you. You can operate on somebody else's money and get very wealthy. So long as you can talk someone into lending you money, you can make a lot of money. And that's what's happened, really. People have the level of wealth reflected by people who own assets has gone up dramatically, very dramatically. And one of the areas that has been very damaging to Tom, Dick, and Mary has been the extent to which it has increased the price of housing. Housing are one of the primary assets that are available to people who can own assets. And the price of housing has flown up not because of inflation, but because of the fact that the way capitalism is operating in our country and the way our tax scheme is operating and the way we've managed interest rates over time, it has put all of the advantage into those hands of people who own assets. And those people have been accumulating assets at a rapid clip.
In theory, easy money should have broad benefits for regular people, from employees with 401ks to consumers taking out cheap mortgages. In practice, it has destroyed much of what used to make capitalism an engine of middle-class prosperity in favor of the old and very rich.
Well, that's the point. The people who, if you own assets, particularly if you own a lot of assets, your rate of growth will magnify with low interest rates. And that is what happened. I mean, it happened in the real estate markets in particular, but in every way, it magnified the value of stock. A dollar of earnings 10 years from now is worth a great deal more in an environment in which there's no interest rate.
So Sandy,
to diminish the value of that dollar earned 10 years from now, as interest rates go up, that value of a dollar earned 10 years from now goes down, and that drives down the price of stock. So much of the stock market thriving as it did had to do with low interest rates. And then as more and more people accumulated assets, they became more and more dependent on investing in the stock market. So it became a closed loop of wealth generation.
So Sandy, this is known. How do you fix it? Hold a thought. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. 844-967-2789 is the number.
Listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Why choose the water park capital of the world for a grown-up getaway? It's all there. Entertainment is there. Nightlife is there. Shopping, spas, and wineries are there. Been there, done that? More like been there, still haven't done that, or that. Golf? Hey, nice swing you got there. Dining? You'll be seated right over there. Zip lining? Hang in there! See what I did there? Wisconsin Dells. See you there. Go to wisdells.com and start planning your grown-up getaway today.
It's time to seize the moment. Trust the team at Round Lake Marina to get you on the water with dock and lift installation services and premium boat rental and sales. They carry the brands you love. Sea Arc, Godfrey, Nautique, Canda, Shore Station, and Pure Pleasure. They're raising the bar for your summer experience, ensuring endless fun and relaxation on the water. Live free, have fun. Visit us at 12480 County Road B in Hayward, Wisconsin, or online at RowlLakeMarina.com.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Club music.
The only great thing about all this is
it's like the
I only have to go through it once a year.
It'll never be quite like this again.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at this same number. I want people to understand I had nothing to do with this. This is all Sandy Williams.
Yeah. it's the least I could do.
So,
and that's what I'm doing, the least I can do.
So we were talking about, you know, what happened to capitalism. And, Sandy, you were explaining some things. And I want to bring in Mike from Kenosha. I know he has a perspective. Hey, good morning to you, Mike. How you doing, sir? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Cheers to your 70th birthday, Earl.
Well,
it's always nice to have a special day and for us to feel a little special for that one day.
Yeah. So you're not, take it all in. you're not far from there. So, okay, go ahead.
Not far at all. I'll be 66 next month. So yeah, I'm creeping up behind you, but
yeah.
You know, I love to talk about capitalism, and I think most of us, you know, there's a lot of things that are very attractive of capitalism. It fits very well and with entrepreneurialism and with risk comes reward, some of that kind of thing. But what happens is without people paying attention and media groups on the ball telling us what's going on, then certain things happen like, you know, healthy, long-established, very diverse companies get identified. And if they have strong pensions, all of a sudden they're identified for a hostile takeover. And with vulture capitalism, if you will, all of a sudden those pensions that used to be in the accounting process was listed as a employee asset, that changed somewhere in the 80s. And all of a sudden, railroad pensions, all these large companies that had healthy pension, fully funded pensions, were targeted for takeover. And then, private equity splits them up into 1,000 pieces. So, you know, it's like everything else, you know, in and of itself, it's a good thing. It's unique and it's certainly made America. But like everything else, if people aren't paying attention, the greed factor comes in and takes over the whole thing, and now we've got something else that's called too big to fail, too big to jail, too big to prosecute. We got, you know, bailouts, and I can go on and on, but sticking again with private equity and the vulture capitalism, gosh, you know, we love to compete, we love the American way in many ways, but vulture capitalism is not and it does not fit in a republic, and it's something that we should be on guard about 24/7.
Hey, Mike, let's let Sandy respond.
Well, you know, the capitalism, I view all of this as not a failure of capitalism, but a failure of government, okay? Capitalism and business generally and marketplaces generally and environments generally require some level of regulation. And what's happened is that, and I think it has to do with probably with money in politics, but government has stopped that process and has stopped doing at least an effective job of that process. I think the Biden administration is trying to reawaken that process and is beginning to feel now the recriminations from those who would be regulated for it. And so, you know, we can talk another show about private equity. Maybe we should devote one to it. Private equity isn't all evil. It's the way that many families have been able to realize the value of their businesses when the fourth generation in the family decides they don't want to stay in the business, they want to sell it. So it has to do with private ownership of business rather than public ownership, and what it is that's done with the businesses. And I think that does require a greater degree of magnified interest on the part of the government to figure out what's appropriate and how much of it can be regulated. But from my standpoint, what's happening in America with respect to capitalism is a failure of government to provide the underpinnings that capitalism needs to thrive. And those underpinnings include education provided to the public, health care provided to the public, daycare for the children provided to the public. Daycare provided to the public has a lot to do with increasing the number of people, the able-bodied workers who can come forward to work successfully. I just think that we might be getting it wrong in this country in terms of going riding capitalism and believing that capitalism is itself a form of government when it isn't. It's a form of organization for business.
Mike?
I think what we've learned is unfettered, unregulated capitalism is a red herring at best. It is high risk, sometimes low reward, especially centralized reward. But you know, my point specifically is unfriendly takeovers. To me, if a group doesn't want to sell their company, and some investment banker from Wall Street comes in and puts a squeeze play on them, to me, that's unfettered capitalism. That's unhealthy. It's not good for the company. It's not good for the community. It's not good for the employees. It's only good for that handful of vultures that are that see the opportunity. And the last point is then all of a sudden quantitative easing and all these other things come into play where big huge capital investment programs or projects go in the tank, and then quantitative easing has to come into play to buy these underperforming assets from the banks, or else our economy is going to be frozen, they threaten. So I agree with you. It is something that needs high regulation.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. But Sandy, that one of the major problems with all of it is the American people don't understand any of that language. And that language has impacted their lives. And how do we fix that?
Well, one of the problems is that the way when you require sophisticated regulation, you require sophisticated government employees to do the regulation. And it's those sophisticated government employees that are now being painted as the deep state. Okay. And so that's part of the war on government right now. And the war on the deep state is really a war on regulation.
All right. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. A Friday edition will air the grievances and get a legal update. Devil's Friday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.